Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This week, a conference title is on the line.
They got an offensive line. That's something that is going to be a great matchup because they have one of the best offensive lines in the country, and we feel we have one of the best defensive lines.
I mean, the excitement right now for our program and our guys, it's off the charts. I mean, this is what you do it for, right?
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
It's going to be right to the 10, 15, Mikhail to the 20, upfield to 30. He's off to the races. He is off to the 40. He's at the 30. He's at the Beaver 20. You have got to be kidding me. He has done it again. Touchdown, Ducks!
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Having fun on a Thursday. Pac-12 Championship game tomorrow night right here on The Fan at 5. And joining us now in studio is the one, the only, the OG number 8.
Hey, yeah.
Anthony Newman. How we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good today.
You doing good? We're feeling good?
I feel great. I got a big weekend coming up.
You do? And let's start with the big game of the weekend.
Yeah. The big one.
There's a big game on Saturday.
Yes, there is.
Now, how are we feeling? Central Catholic Lake Oswego.
Oh, man, we're blessed. You know, our kids are healthy. We're excited. We have a very tough task, though. We're going against the LO team that is well-coached. Steve Corey, have the utmost respect for. He's done a great job. You know, his dad, Dick Corey, was the quarterback coach when I was with the Rams.
Was he really?
Yeah.
So you know the family well, then.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's kind of strange, but you know, they have a guy who can tote the ball. They got a guy that can run really well. And if we can't stop him, or no, here's the deal. We can't stop him. You can't stop great running backs. I mean, I've said this all the time. Barry Sanders, you're not going to stop Barry Sanders. Bettis. You we can contain him a little bit, slow him down a little bit. So if we can do that with their running back, we have a shot. And we have some dudes, too, now. We got some dudes.
You got some dudes.
We got some dudes, too, now. We got some dudes that can play.
You
got
to be worried about him throwing it, though, after last week.
No, yeah. Go ahead. We want him to throw the football.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
please.
There we go.
Throw the football. No. We don't care. No. We don't care what he does. We just got to get 11 guys to number 9. That's the bottom line.
You just got
to
bottle them up.
We got to have 11 dudes to the ball carrier, and then we might have a chance.
Now, let me ask you this, because we've seen a lot of good stud backs come through here recently through Oregon high school football. Yeah. Where is he at in that list? Because he's going to Stanford, right? I think he committed to Stanford.
Yes, he is. He's going to Stanford. You know, it's funny, too. My best friend, Ron Gould, called
down
me.
To Stanford.
He called me and said, hey, how is this Casey kid at LO?
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. And I said, you know, I'll be honest, he's one of the best backs I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
his footwork is unbelievable. His balance, his vision.
Mm-hmm.
He's a natural. He's not like robotic. He's a natural. And he reminds me of McCaffrey. He really does. And so Ron fell in love with him. You know, and Ron's one of the top recruiters, I swear, on the West Coast in the country. He was at, you know, Cal forever. He was at UC Davis. And Ron got him away from Cal. I thought Casey
he was close to Cal. Yeah,
yeah. I thought he was going to Cal. Next thing you know, he's going to Stanford. So, and then our Silas Starr, our receiver at Central Catholic, he's going to Stanford. So you have two teammates together.
A little Stanford action. Level.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fun to watch Stanford play. And so it's just the kid is a true baller.
Yeah,
he really is. He's a true baller. And they got a good group around them. They got some good receivers. The offensive line is stout. They got a big guy, big Tiger. I think it's Tiger number 70, 6'3", 330 pounds.
Yeah, Tiger Shanks.
Yeah, he's
Tiger Shanks is his name?
Yeah, he's a bad boy.
That's a
hell started
of a name.
At Lake Ridge and transferred. I'm a little sour about
a little
that.
Salty about that over there.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't
salty
know that.
Over there.
Okay,
don't bring that kind of stuff up.
I won't bring that up. I won't bring that up. But I just know that this team will be well coached.
Yeah.
I know their staff. I know them well. They'll be well coached. They'll be ready to play.
Well, and I got some really good news for you.
What's that?
Jason Swigard's not calling the game on Saturday.
Yeah, you know.
Because he called your only two losses this year.
Yeah, we had Eastside Catholic and Jesuit.
Don't come. Don't even come near the stadium.
No, I'm not
even
in the stadium.
Don't even let him in the building.
I'm in Seattle with the Pilots basketball team. We're taking on Seattle
then
U.
Then we have a chance.
He's out of the state, man. You're good.
Well, thank you.
That got brought up because I was talking about Herb Street's on the call for the Oregon game tomorrow night. It's an ABC game. And somebody put the list together. It's Herb Street, yeah.
Okay.
So they bounced back and forth between Fox and ESPN and ABC. The last six games that Kirk Herbstreit's called, Oregon has lost.
No.
Yeah. So it started the Ohio State National Championship game. The next year they went to Michigan State with Vernon Adams and they lost that game.
Yeah, I went to that one. Yeah.
Then there was the Las Vegas Bowl when they lost.
The Las Vegas Bowl?
With right after Taggart left and they got blown out by Boise State.
Oh, yeah.
So Herbstreit called that game. That was number three. Stanford, the collapse last year.
Oh,
and then this year he's called two games and they were Auburn and Arizona State.
Do we want him there?
Sorry, can we kick him out of the booth?
Can we kick him out like I'm kicking you out?
Right.
You know, swag, we don't want you.
Yeah,
can I
away,
do that to
right?
Herb Street?
Yeah, just we need to send him an email or something, man. Like, hey, come down with the flu or something. Just don't go call the game, all right?
Really?
You throw anybody you want in the booth. We don't
Are
care.
Are you serious?
Six straight, isn't that wild?
And we're going against Utah.
And it's Utah. So, well, and speaking of running backs, you got to bottle up, man. You got one on Saturday, and Oregon's got one on Friday. And the weather conditions, I'll ask you about this. I want to start with this. We were looking at the forecast yesterday. We're looking at 80 to 90% chance of rain starting before the game. I think at like 3 o'clock. So it's going to be pouring before the game, during warmups, during the game, and then you might even have a gust of wind up to 30 miles an hour. How is that going to affect them?
Hey, that surface is terrible, too.
It's a bad surface, too.
It's a bad surface. You know, Andy, I'll be real. You know, this Utah team, they have some dudes. Yep. They have some guys that can play. They play well as a unit, you know, offense, defense. They don't beat themselves. You know, when they beat up Washington like they did, I was like, whoa. Okay, and in Washington, in Seattle. I know Seattle or Washington's down a little bit, but it's always tough to win in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And they were coming off a bye for that game, too.
Yeah, exactly. And to look at their scores over the season, I mean, they just been beating people up. I mean, they're like the big bully on the block. And then they believe in power football. Moss is going to carry the football. He's 5'10", about 225 pounds. The kid is a beast. He has great balance. He's hard to tackle. It's not like he's going to take it 70 yards, but he could take it 40. Mm-hmm. He could take it 50. The kid can run. And then they got a passing game to go along with it with Huntley.
Yeah, he's having
football.
A good year this year.
Yeah, so, and then they have one of the biggest offensive lines you'll ever see that just, you can't move those big mountains. I mean, they're really big. The receivers are, you know, they're okay. They're there. They're guys that go with the system that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Moss is the guy that you need to stop.
He's the dude.
Yeah, and then when you have a game that you can't really throw the football, you're going to run the ball. And then and it's a bad surface. So now all of a sudden, does the jerseys get slippery? Is it hard to grab the guy? Is it, you know, all those type of things you think about when Utah's going to live with their defense and live running the football.
It's going to be, it feels like, we got Anthony Newman in the studio, by the way, and you can hear him on the pregame right at now. I think, you guys are starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow, so it'll be 24 hours from now. You guys will be doing the pregame for it. It really feels like this is going to be an Anthony Newman era game. Doesn't I mean, this is going to be lining up, we're running the football.
Yes.
Let's be safe. Let's be conservative. Conditions. Because, yes. I mean, as a DB, you probably got to be licking your chops a little bit knowing the conditions, the slippery footballs and all that stuff.
Well, and here's the deal. You don't want to turn the ball over in this game. You can't give Utah more possessions. You need to keep all those. Yeah. And I know Utah is saying the same thing. And let's go the other way. You know, Utah has their hands full. You know, with the good Oregon defense, okay, that can play.
And both of them are in the top 10 in a lot of stats in the
country.
Exactly
right. And with an offense that can play, they've been stumbling the last couple of weeks, but they can play. They have players. It's like going up to Washington. Remember, we were talking about, Washington, they're scary. They have players, but they're struggling right now, but they have players. They could beat you at times. Oregon's the same way. Oregon, I mean, they're 10-2.
Yeah, it's a good year.
They didn't get 10-2 for having a bad offense. Okay, they can score points.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's one of the best quarterbacks still in the country.
Yeah,
he might be struggling a little bit, but he has the potential to have a breakout game. So Utah, they have to bring their lunch. They have to play their best football, and they're going to play smart. They're going to say, let's run the ball with our big boys, and let's play great defense.
Trust our front seven.
That's right.
Yeah, trust our front seven. Can you hang out one more segment?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, for
all
sure.
Right. All right, we got Anthony Newman in studio. We're going to keep talking about this Pac-12 championship game. Your thoughts are welcome. Questions you have, anything you want to talk about with the game, 55305, you can send them on in. We'll continue to talk about the elements and how it's going to play into the game on Saturday. Justin Herbert, as you mentioned, Anthony, big opportunity for him legacy-wise, just what it means. And then some of the criticisms of a 10-2 season. We'll get into that. Continue to talk about the Pac-12 title next right here on 1080 The Fam. Welcome back in. 1:15 over Thursdays are going well. Or Oregon-Utah Pac-12 championship game tomorrow, 5 o'clock. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Anthony and Dusty will have the pregame at 1. Anthony Newman hanging out in studio with us. And I will say this. Traveling with Anthony Newman's a lot of fun. So I remember when we first met, I didn't want to age myself or age you too much.
Oh, yeah.
By telling you that, like, when I was a kid, my brother and I would go to the camp every year, man.
Oh, my
Lord. Every year, the Anthony Newman, J.J. Burton camp. Like, the name, you just know it immediately. Every kid in this area.
Yeah, everybody went to that camp.
Tualatin,
right?
Tualatin, yeah.
I went to it
two or three different places.
It was at Willamette Park, Delta Park, Tualatin, Tiger. But, yeah, you're young.
I'm old. It's okay. I think Swigar might have a year or two on you.
No, we're about the same.
Same?
54.
No, because I watched J.J. Burton play in high school at Lake Ridge.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Were you in the school with him?
I think he was a couple of years ahead of me.
See, J.J.'s a year ahead of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we're close.
You're close.
We're close.
Well, it was fun.
We're not, you're not, you know, you're 23, 24. So that, you're just killing me.
Yeah. I just got my ID, man. I'm ready to go to the bar.
Does he still hold the triple jump record in the state?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, J.J. still does.
Well, he's the best athlete I ever saw at Lake Ridge.
Latin Berry at Milwaukee's.
Latin
best.
Berry, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Latin Berry.
I know that
one.
Name. Yeah, that, he was a stud, man.
Yeah, he broke my records. I broke some records at the NFL Combine.
And he went broke.
And he came 2 years later and broke my records at the NFL Combine.
That's a great throwback name, Lattenberry.
Lattenberry's the stud.
That's wild. Well, I remember we were flying and just when we went down to Dallas for the Auburn game, and the amount of people that would walk up and be like, "Hey, I went to your football game." The amount of people that were like, "Hey, man, I went to your camp." It was like a line out the door to come say hi to Anthony Newman.
And I still run the camp, and I still do camps and all that stuff. But it was crazy because just think about it, those camps. Andy, there were 1,400 kids attending those camps a day. It was a 3-day camp, sometimes, and then we became a 2-day.
1,400 a day.
Yeah, 1,400 a day. We had the thing organized. It was a well-oiled machine. It was good. Then we brought in a lot of, at that time, we brought in maybe 30 NFL players as guest coaches. Then I had another 100 coaches coaching the camp. So it was a...
That's an operation,
It
man.
Was an operation.
Especially when you're still playing and it's your off season, right?
Like, yeah, that was tough.
That's supposed to be your downtime.
It was tough.
And
we
you're
did
putting
it,
that thing
we
on.
Did that. It was at 24 years.
God, that's wild.
23 years.
Well, it's fun traveling with you because it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was
that
all
was good.
Hearing everybody else's stories about going to the Anthony Newman, J.J. Burton football camp.
Yeah,
man.
That was good.
Legendary around here. And speaking of legacies, too, I think that's the interesting part about tomorrow night's game. Herbert he's such a unique guy. Right, I mean, just fans, he has all this hype and this potential, and some people, you look at the numbers, they're good. I think it's 31 touchdowns, 5 picks, almost 70% completion percentage.
Correct.
Those are good numbers.
Yes.
But then there's also times where you watch him and you kind of think, like, is there untapped potential? Why isn't he doing more? Why isn't he taking over games? What have you made of his year this year, and especially at kind of the down last couple of weeks?
You know, it's not about his potential. It's not about his playmaking ability. He's a big time quarterback. You know, he can play the NFL in the NFL for a long time. What bothers me sometimes when you see a guy that's a superstar, that's a stud, that just makes plays all the time, and then you see some really bad throws. You know, and it's not just one throw here and there. Sometimes it becomes consistent. And you hear that all the time as a football player. You need to be consistent in a good way. You know, I need to trust you. And if I trust you, that means that you're consistent on the field. You can do the same thing all the time. So when you see Justin go out there and you throw like a little screen pass to the running back or to the receiver, and it's kind of in the ground. I mean, it's going straight into the ground, and it's not one time, but 2-3 times. And then you see some balls just really overthrown. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the receivers, I talked to a lot of ex-receivers. The receivers may be running the wrong routes or the timing is off, so it's on the receiver as well. They also mess up a little bit. But as a veteran quarterback who's been in the system for a long time, you're hyped up to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country, which you are.
Yeah.
He is.
Numbers-wise, it's still there, but
you got to be more consistent. And so what the NFL scouts are going to say is that, yeah, we're going to take him. I like him, but he's going to be maybe, you know, 2-3 years down the road. Because right now he's showing a lot of inconsistency that we don't like to see in the NFL. That'll get you interceptions. That'll right. get the turnovers. That's third down, fourth down, punting. We can't have that.
Especially if you get drafted to a bad team, too. And there's not a lot around you.
So maybe it's a good thing that his stock may be dropping a little bit. So now he doesn't have to go to that bad team. He can go sit behind a good quarterback,
right.
you know, and just maybe learn a little bit and get more real comfortable with the offense and then step right in a couple years down the road. If you're thrown into the fire right away, that is hard for a young quarterback.
Yeah, no matter how talented you are.
It is hard. I mean, so maybe you know, he's thinking, you know what, maybe I'll throw a couple of balls in the ground so I can drop my stock. I'm just kidding.
Throw a couple of screens in right at the feet, man. It is so weird, though, because it's almost like him and the offense as a whole, right, where they have moments of looking unstoppable.
Yes.
And then they have moments where it's like, what is this JV? Where is this coming from?
I know.
You can't get a first down. Like the USC game they had, remember, early in the game where the first three drives he throws a pick. They can't get a yard. Punt. Defense gets him into the game. But then the offense turns it on and they can't be stopped. The Washington game comes to mind where they score on the opening drive of the game. Don't do anything for the rest of the first half until the last drive of the first half. And then they move it consistently in the second half.
Right.
The ASU game entirely throughout. And then in the fourth quarter, they score 21 points. And I feel like it's him and the offense in general because he does miss a lot of throws and they're just inconsistent.
Well, I think that when you watch them as a Duck fan, you see the greatness, and that's what you expect. You see, like, man, they're scoring 36 points a game. Wow, they can score. They can move the ball up down the field. Justin can't be stopped. Those receivers are great. But then you see some really bad play, and it's just, you go, wait, what's going on there? What happened? And then all of a sudden, the next series, it's the same thing. A really bad play. A bad series. Like, I thought we're good.
Right, and then he'll throw that perfect touchdown in the corner of the end zone to Johnny Johnson. Yeah, right, and you're like, oh, there it is. Right.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I think the expectations as fans, they get so high that you get disappointed when you see stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we have to understand, they're kids and they're human, so they all make mistakes. But, you know, 10-2, you're averaging 36 points per game. You got an offense.
Right. The numbers are there. And we talked about earlier, we were discussing it in the break. We'll see what happens with Marcus Arroyo this offseason. I know he's public enemy number one for Duck fans.
I know he is.
And somebody texted in when I brought it up earlier saying he could go to UNLV. And somebody's like, man, that's kind of a step back. Why would you want to go take that job? And then I also said, well, would you want to be public enemy number one in your job?
No.
Right. Like, he's coming to work every day knowing that the vast majority of fans think he's the problem.
Right.
Right. That's tough to, that would be tough to deal with on a day in and day out basis.
Well, first of all, he's going to be the head coach.
Yeah. So it's
any guy wants to be, if you're an assistant,
you want to run your program.
Yeah. You want to run it the way you want to run it. Yeah. And so, you know, and he knows that league, that conference and all that. Why not take it? And if you're getting paid, you know, some good money, yeah, I may jump on that thing. And,
yeah,
you know, yes, you have a good thing here at Oregon. You understand that. But maybe something is missing in that whole connection, and maybe it's time for him to go.
Well, we're talking with Anthony Newman. He's hanging out in studio. Pre-game's going to be tomorrow, Pac-12 championship. He's also coaching in the state championship game on Saturday, so he's got a busy weekend up ahead. You know, one of the things about Utah, too, and we talk about this a lot with Oregon, and I think you really saw it when Jacob Breland went down. We knew early Cam McCormick went down. And that was a tough blow because this was kind of going to be his year. Breland comes out, and he was their guy. He was the go-to guy early in the season. He goes down with a season-ending injury. They haven't really been able to fill that hole at tight end. A little bit of Spencer Webb here and there flashes, but Kent Moyer's playing a little bit. Ryan Day, you know, they just can't find necessarily that guy. That's one of the things that Utah has, and it's going to be tough. That Brant, I think it's Kuthi, is how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah.
He's a monster. Now, and I was watching that game against Colorado on Saturday night, because they've been blowing so many people out, you don't necessarily watch them start to finish all the games.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there Saturday night watching that game, and, I mean, he's got 29 catches, 550 yards, and 6 touchdowns on the season. But against Colorado, 63 yards and 2 touchdowns, they're going to go to him.
Yes, they are.
And I think that's one of those things that Avalos, I mean, how do you draw that up knowing Utah is going to want to run the football, the conditions are going to be bad, But then there's that play action. He's leaking out. He's a big target. Is it Dye? Is it Holland? How do you cover a big tight end like that?
Well, I think it's going to be Holland, more athletic type guy that can make some plays. They're going to need Dye in the box, okay, to stop the running game. He has to be close to the line of scrimmage to stop the running game. It's a tough task. It really is because, Utah's going to come out and they're going to establish the running game. They have some big offensive linemen up front. And then when they want to throw the football because everybody's, coming up for the run, it's the pop passes to the tight end. And I've always said this, me being a defensive guy, going against an offense that has a great tight end is hard to beat because you have to deal with a guy who's bigger than all the safeties and all the linebackers. He's taller, and it's a mismatch out down in the field. He can block as well. So now you got an extra offensive lineman in there blocking, a three surface side. At times you can motion the big tight end. You can do a lot of different things with him. And most people don't account for tight ends. Receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. Who cares about the tight end?
You just forget
Well,
him.
When you have a good tight end, and look at Oregon, when Jacob Breeland was playing, he was killing people.
He was a touchdown machine for him, man.
And the middle of the defense is always the weak spot of a defense. It's always the middle. And if you can have a tight end to attack the middle of the field, it's tough to beat.
Yeah, and you look at his last three games that he's played against UCLA, 5 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. They beat Arizona to blow out 4 catches, 81 yards. And I mentioned only 3 catches, but 2 of them went for touchdowns. 63 yards. He had a 38-yard touchdown catch in that game.
Yeah.
So he was a big target. They're going to go to him.
I think number 8 is going to have the responsibilities of taking him out.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a matchup that I think Andy's going to like. Javon Holland, you're a cover guy. You can cover tight ends. You're a big guy, big safety. Cover the tight end. And I remember when I was playing, they always had me covering the tight ends because I'm one of the bigger safeties, athletic safety, and take me out of the running game. I don't deal with the run. Now, if your guy blocks, come in and fail on the run.
Be that extra body,
But you got to cover this guy down the field.
Yeah, and that's why.
Holland's the same way.
It's going to be a big job for him, 6'2", 235. He's a big body.
He's a big body.
So you have to size up. At least you don't necessarily have the fear of him burning you deep, those double moves kind of stuff.
You can be a little more aggressive maybe in your coverage.
The
other safety doesn't have to look to help you. You take care of him by yourself because he's not going to beat you down the field.
No.
It's the out routes, the curls, trying to get around his big body to make a play. Yeah. That's what's hard.
Well, he's gonna need to play well because they go to that tight end a lot. I do looking at the other side of the ball, we've talked so much this year about Oregon's wide receivers, and as we just mentioned, the tight end position being a bit of a hole for them. Micah Pittman unfortunately goes down again. I think Jalen Redd being out of that ASU game, it was big. I mean, he's their go-to guy in the slot, the screen game. They love getting the ball.
Yes.
He's athletic.
Yes.
He's quick. So to not have him in that game was tough. The one, and I don't know how much the elements are going to affect this. It's almost an unfortunate part of it. The one, I think, film that I would have playing in my head if I'm Oregon is the USC game. Now, you don't sling it around like USC does. That's not your offense. But their scoring in that game came from taking shots down the field.
Right.
And having big physical wide receivers make plays.
Right.
And this was supposed to be a good Utah secondary, and they are. They've had a good year. But that game, you're just watching like, huh? You got guys jumping over people and making catches.
Right.
I mean, again, it's going to be pouring down rain and windy, so maybe that takes it out of it. But I look at a guy like Juwan Johnson and think, here is a moment for you watching that USC film of saying, can you go do that same thing that USC did to him?
The big body receiver. And again, another matchup problem with the smaller DBs. Now, Utah has some very good DBs, but they're not real big. They're average size DBs. So I would take advantage of that. And you have to understand this. When the field's really wet and you have a bad surface and you got rain coming down, it's harder for a DB to cover a receiver in those conditions compared to the receiver trying to get his footing running routes. Because I'm reacting. And everything I do is going to be slowed down a little bit because I can't get my footing. Now he's made his break, and I'm trying to get my footing. I can't get there. So in the passing game, if Justin can hold on to the football and throw the football and be accurate, the receivers have an advantage in that type of surface. Because I know that surface is really bad.
And
if it's going to be wet, it's going to be slippery. But it's hard to play. The only way you deal with that type of – field is corners. You have to play press coverage. You got to get on them right away. You can't play off.
Don't let them get a full steam ahead.
Because trying to plant your feet and all that plant and drive stuff, It doesn't work in that type of footy.
It helps to know as a wide receiver where you're going.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier to make those cuts.
Yes, it does.
In, out, wherever you're going to be going.
Reacting is hard in that environment.
You got turf, you know, being dug up underneath you. Yeah, it's pouring down rain on you, man. Yeah. That would be something to keep an eye on. Maybe you get some of those explosive plays DB slips or it just falls down or there's a blown coverage in that regard.
Yes.
Could happen. All right, one more. We're hanging out?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, so I want to get to just on this Pac-12 championship game. We'll continue to talk about the different angles of it. We had a question texted in about Oregon's defense this year. We'll get to that. Also, just kind of general feeling around the program now. 10-2 this year, the direction they're heading. You're graduating a lot of seniors this year after senior day. So we'll continue on. We got Anthony Newman hanging out in studio with us. More on the Pac-12 title game next.
Back to you.
Welcome back in 134. It's a Thursday, beautiful day outside. Hanging out with Anthony Newman in studio. His Central Catholic Rams are in the state championship game Saturday. This got a chance to be a really good weekend or a really bad weekend for you. I got a buddy who's a diehard Oregon fan and a diehard Seahawk fan. And in 2014, Oregon lost the national championship to Ohio State the way that they did. And a matter of a month later, whatever it was the Russell Wilson throwing the pick at the 1 yard line thing.
That one hurt.
And I remember talking to him in the week after that. He was like, why do I like sports? Like, what's the point of all this? It's just heartbreak, man. So it's got a chance, you know, it's got a chance to be really good, really bad.
Yeah, I'll be good 1-1. But I like,
1-1's
you know,
good, yeah.
1-1's good. I'm, you know, 2-0, that's what I want. But, you know, 0-2, whew. That'd be tough.
And somebody texted in after Swagger got all hot and bothered there. Somebody texted in, both my kids went to Lake Ridge. My daughter always reminds me, you can't spell loser without LL. Oh. Go Central Catholic.
Oh,
so we got somebody rooting for CC out there.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. No, they're taking shots at LL.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
I love it.
We owned them back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Back in the Tom Smythe days.
Oh, yes. But things have changed.
Just slightly, right?
Yeah.
We got Anthony Newman hanging out in the studio. I did want to ask, before we get back into that game real quick, the news yesterday, Isaiah Hodgins announcing for the NFL draft.
Yes.
Because we talked about this, I remember last year. I thought you went through it. You had to make the decision of do I go? And I know you've had a lot of guys that have... You got a lot of guys from Oregon over the years have reached out, like, you know, how do I play this out? Like, what's the thought process there? Because clearly he's deciding to go, have one more year, but I'm assuming the draft evaluation was good.
Well, I think us fans of guys who are playing the sport, and we really have no say. We may have an opinion, but no one knows what's going on behind closed doors with those young men, you know, behind the scenes, with their families, what they're going through in their life. And if they have an opportunity, they think that they can make some money and help them and help their family, and they should take it.
Right.
They should take it. Now, I know some kids go too soon. They're like, if you stay another year, you can get, you know.
You got a chance to play yourself into a different spot.
Exactly. But sometimes these kids are desperate. They're you know, they go, you know, when they start high school, they think, okay, I want to play college football. And then you get into college, well, I want to play pro football. And you think, you know, the NFL is it.
Is it. Here we go.
Yeah, but sometimes it's, you know, it's a tough task to get there. And then when you get there, it's a tough task to stay.
Right.
That's the hardest thing. But some of these kids, I think he can, he's a playmaker.
Yeah, big guy, big body.
Yeah, he's a playmaker. He'll play in the NFL, no problem. But, you know, some guys I think chose to go early, and I think it was a big mistake. But that's you know, my opinion, you know, that mistake for them might be the right thing.
Sure.
I mean, they think, you know, I have to find a way to make money. I can't go to school anymore. Or
you need it now.
And here's the thing. And, yeah, people just don't like school. Sometimes these kids are like, I don't like school.
I can't stand it.
I can't do it for another year. I have a chance to go in the NFL. I'm going right now.
Well, I thought that was interesting. You know, Tua did an interview recently after he got hurt. That hip injury went through, and now everybody's wondering, Tua, is he going to be a top 10 pick still? And what's going? And he did an interview, and he was actually really honest about it, just where you're thinking, like, I mean, how far am I going to fall? And I remember talking to you about this, just said the money that you play yourself out of or play yourself into.
Yes.
And he had a line in there, I think, that you mentioned to me, too, is that when you lose money because you fall or you go too early, whatever, you come back and you don't play well and you drop in standing, you're never going to get that money back.
Nope.
You're chasing that money the rest of your career.
Yes, you are.
And he put it in context of, like, man, if I go, you know, I thought I was going to be a top 5 pick all year. Now I got the hip injury on top of the injury from the ankle, like I'm banged up, if I fall to the end of the first round, I'm looking at a $9 million difference here.
That's right.
And that's a rookie contract. And he said, you know, people claim you can make it back on your second deal.
No,
was like, man, that's $9 million out of my pocket. I'm never going to see you again.
No, well, first of all, they're betting on you playing well to make that money.
No guarantee you're going to play well.
No, yeah. Not at all. Yeah. And so once you have the opportunity to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to make this money. I need to go back in the, you know, in the college and see if I can get a better contract, you know, like Patrick Chung did. He did back in the day. He wasn't going to come out early. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to play another year. And then he went out, you know, his senior year, he went in the second round. Each draft, there's levels of where those dollars fall. And there are big drops from top five picks to bottom of the first round, from bottom of the first round to even the second round, from the second round to third, fourth round. It just drops tremendously. So if you lose money, you know, in that first contract, you're going to have to be a superstar, star to make that money up.
Yeah.
Because what we say is that you're just trying to get a financial help in life to get you going in life, to put some money behind, you know, put away. And if you don't get that big contract and you're trying to play well, now you're all this pressure. I got to play well to get that money that I lost. And then sometimes you don't play well.
The financial help way is a good way to look at it, too, because you're looking at, for most people, a 5 to 6 year career.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're not done for the rest of your life. It's financial help to kind of get you started.
Right. It's a starter loan.
And you don't have to pay it back.
Right. Exactly.
Just don't spend it all.
Just be smart with it. All right. No, I found that interesting when he mentioned that in the interview. And I was like, man, I remember hearing Anthony talk about that last year with some of these guys. Of like, good luck chasing that money the rest of your career.
No, you're chasing.
Because you're not going to be able to
get it.
Back into the Oregon game tomorrow night, 5:00. I think we're all excited for it. Yeah, I am just curious, and we haven't talked a lot about this throughout the course of the year, but it's a weird feeling at 10-2 because when it shouldn't be, but it is for some in the fan base where people will say, yeah, 10 wins is 10-2 is good. It's a good year. You're going to the conference title. And then other people will look at it and say, man, there's been times you haven't looked very good. You've been eking out wins. You could have easily lost a couple of more games throughout the course of the season. And then wondering, did you waste an opportunity this year with all the talent that you had coming back, dropping the ASU game? Because if they beat Arizona State, which is a game that if they play 10 times, right? I mean, you probably win that the majority of the times. Arizona State's okay. They're not a great team. They're a good team. Did you waste an opportunity with all the talent? It's a weird mix right now in the fan base.
Well, it's funny how people say, well, you know, you shouldn't have lost the ASU game. Well, the Ducks didn't try to lose that game. I mean, that was, you go through the season, and it's hard to go undefeated. And it's hard to go undefeated in your conference. You got other teams playing well. You got other teams that are well coached. It's difficult. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Okay, so, you know, I knew looking at the schedule, you know, more so the schedule at the beginning of the year, that Oregon was going to lose a game in the Pac-12. I didn't think they're going to go undefeated in the Pac-12.
At Washington, at Stanford, at USC, at ASU.
And then maybe a bad game against somebody. You have a bad game against somebody always sitting there. It's always sitting there waiting. Okay, we're going to have a bad game right now. Okay. For this team, it was Arizona State. I mean, they had a bad game. And Arizona State won that football game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away for who they are and what they've done. 10-2, great record. You know, the seniors were 4-8 when they were playing, you know, when they first got into the program.
Freshman year.
Yeah, and then everything has gone up the ladder. And that's what you want, you know, as a football player. You get to a program, you just keep going up the ladder. And now, you know, I'm going out on top, 10-2, and have a chance to play. Well, yeah, we are playing in the Pac-12 championship and then go to a big bowl game. That's a great season. It really is. Yes, there's some downfalls during the season, but it's going to happen with everyone.
Right, there's going to be ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to go undefeated and win the whole thing.
right.
And who can do that?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. I think Clemson was the first team ever last year, were they not, to go like 15-0, weren't they?
Yeah, 15-0. Yeah.
15-0.
So you said the first team ever.
Yeah, because you get the playoff game now, so no team's ever done it.
Think about that. Yeah. So, but Oregon right now is 10-2. And you're dealing with all these other great colleges across the country. They're, you know, in the same boat and good football teams. And so you have to go, you know, 11-1. I mean, it's right, how do you right. – and it's hard. And
the tough part, too, is I remember talking about this after the Auburn game when we were down there. When you schedule a game like that, which fans love, and it's great to just see how you stack up. Here we go, competition against competition. When you lose a game, the reward is then you have to be perfect.
Right, yeah.
There is no room for error.
Right.
You know, that's the interesting part of looking at Oregon this year is if they had scheduled Fresno State.
Yeah.
And they win that game, right? I mean, you're sitting here at 11-1. You're still in different conversations.
That's right.
Utah didn't play a game like that. Oklahoma didn't play a game like that. Baylor didn't play a game like that.
Right.
All three of those teams slipped up at some point in the season, but they didn't have the non-conference game to go on top
that's
of
right.
it. Right.
That's
so
right.
That's the reward. I will get you out on this one because I know you guys got a lot more to talk about tomorrow, getting ready for the game, and there's going to be a lot of discussion around it. I did want, and I don't even know if you know how to answer it, but I want to ask you anyways. What is, I mean, being a guy who played in Oregon, you're so close to the program, you have been for so many years. What is Justin Herbert's legacy to you? Is it defined yet, or do you have to wait and see how tomorrow night and the rest of the season goes?
I don't think it's defined yet. I think he has a couple of games left. You know, win the big game, which is the Pac-12 championship, and then maybe go win a bigger game, the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I like to see what he's going to do in these last two games because these games mean a lot. And superstars need to show up, you know, when the spotlight's on you. In this game, the spotlight's going to be on them. In the next game, the spotlight's going to be on them. And this game means everything. It really does. To the program, to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to go out, you know, bad throws, balls, at, you know, the towards the ground, or hitting just, you know, dimes, you know, down the field. So give me a couple games.
And then we'll see.
And then we'll see.
Especially looking at Utah's front seven, too, man. I think it's going to come down to his arm.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they give up 50 rushing yards a game.
Yes.
50 a game.
Get ready for the blitz.
Yeah, they're going to come after you.
Yes, they do.
Can you handle it, man?
Very aggressive.
Well, hey, you got a big game on Saturday, a fun one tomorrow night with the Pac-12 championship game. Thanks for hanging out, man. Good luck this weekend.
This is fun. I like this.
Hey, it's great.
I need lunch now.
Yeah, and I got a good lunch.
You can bring me lunch?
Who's bringing food in? What the hell?
Where's my food?
Yeah, I thought we were getting food here. Nobody ordered food?
I got my water.
Yeah. Well, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And then we'll hear you tomorrow on the pregame show. Anthony Newman, we're back after this on 1080 The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Feels great, baby.
It did feel good, man. It did feel good. Dialing in my golf workouts, getting ready. My little, you got to keep the work in the off season. Got to get ready. Golf season's almost here. Our pro football challenge coming up, top of the hour. Spraying the line in the final hour. And we have to make our Pac-12 picks because we're jamming it all in. It's a no-show Friday. Thanks again to Anthony Newman for stopping in. He's so fun to work with. We had a great time. He's got a big weekend. You got the Oregon game and how invested he is in the program tomorrow night and then the state championship game on Saturday. It'll be fun to see him get a couple of wins. And thanks again to Anthony for stopping in. Just looking around, I don't know how much time we're going to have in the final hour, Swag, to talk about these games. But we haven't really dove much into the other conference championship games.
Yeah.
Which ones? I mean, obviously, I know you have some with bigger angles than others and bigger implications than others. I'm assuming you're going a pecking order of SEC, Big 12, Big 10?
Probably.
Is that a fair assumption for everybody? And then ACC is kind of lagging behind on Saturday?
Well, and you want to keep an eye on that Memphis-Cincinnati game in the American Athletic. If Memphis wins it, then they are most likely the group of five team to get a New Year's Six Bowl. Mm-hmm. If they lose, then Boise State's got an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boise State right now, they play Hawaii in their conference championship game. They are number 19 in the rankings, Memphis 17.
Yeah.
So if they are
you can keep an eye on there because Memphis and Cincinnati played last week. So, you know, you get a chance as coaches
really
to
weird.
Go back over the film and study it, and here's where we broke down, and assuming the personnel is essentially the same, you didn't suffer any catastrophic injuries, or maybe you're getting somebody back that couldn't play in that game, it's easier to make adjustments. It's fresh in the guys' minds
So we'll see if that one, the second time around, is a little closer.
Yeah, I think the game that most people are excited for is the SEC championship game. Number four, number two, Georgia's got a chance to play in.
Now, did that wide receiver, did we find out, did he get more suspension than the first half?
I believe he just has the first half.
Okay, so he's out in the first half. Swift got dinged up in
he's
that game.
Up. Yep, he's banged up right now.
But I think he's at least going to suit up and try and go.
I think the reason why that game's interesting is, one, I don't really trust LSU's defense, and I don't trust Georgia's offense.
Yeah.
Georgia, to me, I mean, they are a good defensive team. I'll give them credit there. They're great on that side of the ball, and I think you could probably argue –
The question is, can they put heat on Burrow and move him off his spot and have to have him throw on the run before those dangerous wide receivers can get down the field?
Well, I think, too, you know, with some of these, the mindsets in these games is always interesting to me, because there has got to be a certain mindset in LSU's locker room, not saying that they're going to take this game for granted or not be invested in, and it's still the SEC championship game, but they know that they're in. Like, that, it's a weird situation for them to be in. Seeding's on the line.
Yeah, I think
matchups.
I think the SEC championship, though, because LSU hasn't had an opportunity to play for it very often.
They haven't been in it in a while.
So I think that will trump whatever, you know, feeling of we're in, whatever comfortable feeling they may have. I think wanting to win an SEC title, knowing they haven't had too many cracks at it with Alabama and Auburn in recent years, that they're going to want to go in and make a statement. I think it irritates them that Ohio State jumped them still.
It could, and that's the other angle, too, of the matchups for the playoff that could come, because if LSU beats Georgia, I don't know how LSU doesn't finish with the number one seed. Another win over a top five team. Eyeball test me all you want. I don't care.
Because your ability to not have to play Clemson in the semifinals, that's also
that is huge. You want that number one seed desperately. And again, that depends on what happens in the other games that go down on Saturday. I do think Georgia's going to be able to hold LSU down. I think it's easily the best defense they've faced this year. And with LSU, I think a defense that's comparable to them, for Georgia, that is Auburn. And if you go back to that Auburn-LSU game, that game was 23-20 in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And they held them. That's a home game for them. Auburn had the lead in the second half. They just didn't have enough offense. And I wouldn't be surprised if this game ends up going the same way. Just Georgia, I don't trust their offense. I don't trust Fromm based on what I've seen this year and the injuries, as you alluded to. But defensively, I know they're good. And that's going to be a fun matchup to watch in that regard. The other one, and we do get a rematch in that Cincinnati-Memphis game they just played last week. The other one is, and it was fun listening to Colin Wilson yesterday on with Isaac and Suk. I love his gambling angles on all these games. Talking about the Baylor-Oklahoma game, because as he pointed out, when you look at that game, it depends on what do you put more stock in, the first half or the second half.
Yeah.
Because Baylor was in complete control. They dominated the first half. They were going to run away with it. And then they crapped all over themselves, and they blew the lead at home. And Oklahoma came back and won. And Oklahoma's a team that I have not bought into at all this season. I think you look at a lot of their wins after that Kansas State loss. Really kind of started with Texas. They didn't play that well against Texas, turn it over. They lost to Kansas State. You look after that, they beat Iowa State 42-41 on a failed two-point conversion. That Baylor comeback, they're down big, had to dig out of the hole and win. Then they beat TCU 28-24 at home. TCU's not very good this year. I don't think they're going to a bowl game. But then all of a sudden last week, they look good. They look good, and Oklahoma State's quarterback was hurt. But are they getting hot at the right time?
Yeah, and I think you look at Jalen Hurts in the college football sense, I think the way you look at Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, they can make mistakes, they can look stagnant at times, but if he's got the ball with a chance to win it for you at the end, you like your chances.
Using his arm or his legs.
Yeah. So I think Baylor's going to have to – now, you trust that Baylor won't commit all of the similar mistakes that they did after building that big lead. If they can get a big lead again, then I think Oklahoma's in trouble.
Yeah, so that one's going on in the – that's at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
You can hear that over on 910 ESPN,
910
Portland,
ESPN
on Saturday
Portland.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. My clock's all off. I think it's Friday because we don't have a show tomorrow. I did not realize this either. Maybe I should have, that Jalen Hurts is their leading rusher.
Yeah.
He's got 1,200 yards on the year, 31 passing touchdowns, 18 rushing touchdowns, nearly a 50 touchdown season. Could easily have that.
My math, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Nobody has any interest in the ACC title game. No, thank you. Clemson is going to
massacre
Virginia.
No, that's just one you want to look at the score, and if you get in the third quarter and it's not a 4-touchdown blowout, you might flip over and go, what's going on?
The only interest there is if somehow Trevor Lawrence gets hurt and then maybe there's hope for somebody to beat Clemson in the college football playoff. Because that is one, they are going to be angry on Saturday. They should be. Like Dabo and all of his stuff drives me nuts sometimes. He is extremely annoying to me. And this whole, like, the committee wants this number 20. It's like, stop with all that nonsense.
I think most of that's for his team.
That's where I'm scared.
It's fine if you want to use the media to stoke your team. That's fine. I think everybody understands what he's doing.
Yeah, they're going to murder Virginia on Saturday.
So.
And then the last one would be the Big Ten Championship game, 5 o'clock on Fox on Saturday. And that's one. The angle there that honestly intrigues me is Justin Fields. I don't know how much people have watched Ohio State the last couple of weeks. They played big games, Penn State and Michigan, the last 2 weeks. He's like a cat with nine lives, man. He went down at the end of that Penn State game, and it looked like that was a bad injury. He returns to the game like four plays later. And then last week against Michigan, I got done with the pregame show for the Civil War. I walk into the Moe Center just to kind of keep an eye on some games. He goes down, and it looked like it's a torn ACL. Like, this guy's done. Yeah. Four plays later, he's like scrambling around and throwing a 40-yard touchdown in the back of the end zone.
This
keep
is
him
about,
upright if you're Ohio State.
You know, can Chase Young – you know, make the right reads coming off the edge of getting Jonathan Taylor or putting pressure on, was it Cone?
Yeah.
It's the quarterback?
Yeah. It's no longer Hornibrook. I miss old Hornibrook.
God, he was there for like 9 years.
And then he went to Florida State. Somebody takes it in. The seeding implications are going to be huge. LSU likely jump Ohio State if they win to play for the four seed. Otherwise, they're playing Clemson or Ohio State in the first round. That is true for the LSU angle. And for the other games, like Ohio State's in, LSU's in, and let's just be honest, Clemson's going to win. They're in as well. It becomes a race for the you want to try and get Utah or whoever else ends up that number four seed. That's who you want to play in the first round of the playoff. You want to avoid Clemson as long as you can. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with six locations to serve you. Coming up in the final hour of the show, Pac-12 pick, not picks, just pick. There's only one to make. Sprague made his on Monday before he headed out of the country, so we'll pick that one. The spread right now is at 6.5 between Oregon and Utah, so we'll do that. We have to Sprague the line at 2:30, so get your fake sponsors in 55305. I know it's weird, but we got a no-show tomorrow, so we got to Sprague the line at 2:30, but it is a Thursday. It is the final hour. That means we'll start with the Pro Football Challenge for the next half hour, picking all the games in the NFL. Don't go anywhere. Loaded final hour. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.